So for 7 out of the last 8 years, I have been very fortunate to go to the Super Bowl. One of those Super Bowls, I actually got to go into the game. Most of the time, I don't get into the game. I just end up being in the city. But it's through a logistics company that I used to work full-time for. And now that I'm on my own, I'm still good friends with the owner of the logistics business. And it's just fun for me to go and meet up with guys that I used to work with. And to be in the same city as the Super Bowl is usually pretty fun. And it's a nice little couple extra $1,000 or, you know, $2,000 for, you know, a week of work. And with it still being, you know, early days in our business. And it's a fun event to work. And this past week, I was in Minneapolis freezing my face off for Super Bowl 52. And there was one particular moment that I thought was really powerful. It was really refining of my own leadership, and wanted to share it. So to set a little bit of context, when I worked these events, because I've been full time with the company in the past, I always end up leading teams, and these teams of folks are doing, you know, various things. You know, making sure that buses show up on time, making sure that, you know, guests get on the right bus or in the right SUV. It's just transportation logistics. We're not actually driving anybody, but we're the, you know, kind of out of the car on the sidewalk person, kind of making sure that everything runs smooth. And I am always, you know, leading teams of guys that are on site, and I'm typically back at the hotel working on schedules and making sure that guys know everything they need to know and have everything they need to have, and kind of setting them up to win. And this trip was a little bit different because I got caught kind of doing more of the on the ground stuff and didn't get as much time to sit back and work on the schedules that I'd like. And because of that, I took some shortcuts. And there was a particular guy on our team that, you know, I had sent some information to him via text. Basically, I sent like a screenshot of a spreadsheet, and I said, "Hey, here's the shuttle schedule, just so you have it." And he, you know, was really upset. He was out in the cold. He was wrangling these buses, and he was like, "Nobody understands these spreadsheets. You know, what are you, you know, use your words, you know, you can't just send a screenshot of a spreadsheet and expect, you know, anybody but the author to understand it." And, you know, he's kind of got a funny, you know, he's a funny personality, funny sense of humor. I thought he was, you know, I thought the way he framed it, it sounded like he was kidding. And so I, you know, I shot back some, you know, smart aleck comment. You know, it was like, you know, I didn't author it, and I understand it. So, you know, use your eyes and figure it out. And he got super angry. Apparently he was not kidding, and just started firing back some just very negative, words, but there was truth in it. I mean, what he was saying was true, that, you know, he couldn't understand the data that I sent him, and it was data that he needed to do his job right. And there was one particular thing that he said, and I wanted to respond like I was in a pissing contest with this guy, and I just wanted to, you know, get the last word in and make the last jab. And instead I just stopped and I said, "I apologize." And in that moment I thought, oh my gosh, like, one, that diffuses the situation in a way that I don't think anything else that I could have said would have. And it forced me to just own the truth that was in what he was saying. Now, did he say what he needed to say the best way possible? No. He could have said what he wanted to communicate in a lot more kind way. But he didn't. And I think acknowledging what in that situation was mine to own, and not just assuming that because he was, you know, a little bit of a jerk in the way that he communicated his frustration with me doesn't mean that he wasn't rightfully frustrated. And so by saying I apologize, I owned my responsibility in it and then took action to deliver the information in the way that would probably be easier for him to understand. And, you know, a couple different things in there. You know, doing the harder thing more often than not is the right thing. All analogy, you know, everything breaks down eventually and you got, you want to work smarter, not harder, all that stuff. But when it comes to the content that I'm writing on LinkedIn, our strategy with our podcast, relationship building, like more often than not, doing the easy thing doesn't end up producing the best result. Sending 1,000 emails with generic messaging is typically, you know, that's easy because you can use a tool and, you know, spend $70 a month on a tool that will allow you to blast out 1,000 emails a day. But that's not going to be very effective. Instead, getting, you know, learning personalized things about each of those people and sending one-to-one messages with context is the harder thing, but it's more often than not the more effective thing. And it was the same here. You know, had I delivered, had I taken the extra time and delivered the information to this guy in a way that was much more easy for him to consume, as opposed to just screenshotting this, the mobile version of the spreadsheet and sending it to him, it would have resolved the situation. And so I owned what I needed to own. And then as soon as he was, coincidentally enough, he was my roommate at the event. So whenever he got back, you know, I instantly, you know, he walked in the door and I said, "Hey man, I apologize. You know, I shouldn't have came, you know, snapped back like that. And, you know, really apologize." And he was like, "Oh man, like I have a really funny, you know, sense of humor and I joke around a lot. And so a lot of times people don't understand when I'm really being serious about something." And we ended up having a great conversation about how the organization as a whole that I was helping out can be better about communicating and scheduling their staff at these events. So it ended up being what could have been a pivotal moment in the weekend and created this very awkward, weird dynamic between my roommate and myself, and you know, could have resulted in, you know, me bad-mouthing him to the team and him bad-mouthing me to the team, and it could have been this big, giant, dramatic thing. But because I don't do this all the time by any means. You can ask Lisa. But in this particular instance, was fortunate enough to be able to have the self-awareness and leading from the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. I feel like it was divine intervention and God stepping in, to give me the discipline to just own it and take responsibility for what was mine to take responsibility for and apologize. And because of that, it ended up salvaging, not even salvaging, but probably strengthening my relationship with this guy, on top of actually coming up with, collaborating with him to come up with a long-term solution for how that won't happen again, not just at events I work, but at events that anybody works. And so just a little lesson from the Super Bowl weekend that I thought would be helpful for folks listening to this, for my grandchildren one day. When you have the opportunity to own your mistake, own it. Saying I apologize and genuinely meaning it will diffuse very angry situations faster than you realize, and I think that there's a lot of power in that. So hope that was helpful.